I'm going to read from Romans chapter 16 and verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. This is now, I think, the 41st Wednesday night sermon on the tiny bit parts of Scripture. And tonight's bit part is Rufus's mother. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Just a few words wondering who this lady is. It's rather strange, don't you think, if you're familiar with the book of Romans and the 16th chapter, that Paul goes through a number of people by name. From a historical point of view, it really is rather wonderful. And then we come to Rufus. He's chosen in the Lord. Well, that's good, according to Romans, so are all believers. Whether Rufus is particularly chosen because he has some ministry in the church, perhaps he's a pastor or a house church leader in the Church of Rome, I do not know. And then we come to his mother. Why does she not get a mention by name? That's a strange thing. There are two possibilities for who she is. I'll consider both before I look at some application. There's a verse in Mark chapter 15. Mark is writing his gospel, probably either from Rome or for folk who live in Rome. And speaking of Simon of Cyrene, the man who carried the Lord's cross on the day of his crucifixion, we're told in verse 21, then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Could it be that the Rufus mentioned in Romans chapter 16 and verse 13 is the Rufus mentioned by Mark? Evidently, the Church of Rome, if Mark was writing for the church at Rome, would have known Rufus. And he's saying, well, that Rufus, you know, it was his father who carried the cross. If so, what on earth is he doing in Rome? Well, what's Simon of Cyrene doing in Jerusalem? Clearly the family were used to travelling. The other possibility, and this might account for why there is some anonymity here. In AD 43, the Romans invaded Britain, and the general was called Aulus Plautus, and he had a wife. And it might be that this lady here is that man's wife. Now, it's not absolutely clear. What we do know is that she has a son called Rufus. We also know, and you might be familiar with King Caratacus, he had two children, Claudia and Linus, who may be mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures, and that the wife of Aulus Plautius was to look after them. Lady Pompina, she was called. She was a Roman aristocrat. The book of Romans was probably written in the year 56. In the year 57, the Lady Pompina stood trial. This was the charge: believing foreign superstition. That was a year after the book of Romans may have been written. Because she was an aristocrat, they appointed her husband, Plautus, to be the judge. For whatever reason, he decided that she was not guilty and not worthy of execution, which is a relief to her, I think. But from around that time, she dressed in mourning for the rest of her life. Some say it's because of her aristocratic relatives whom the emperor killed. It's also possible that, in terms of her faith, for the sake of her husband, she denied it and was forever, therefore, in a state of mourning. If, when this letter was being written, she was being prepared for a trial because she was a Christian, getting a letter from the Apostle Paul, where she was singled out and named, would have been very useful information for the prosecution. And it might be for that reason that Paul decided not to name her. So we don't know whether it is the wife of Simon of Cyrene. We don't know if it is the wife of Plautus, the general, who invaded our island. Indeed, it might be another woman altogether. But it seems strange, I think, that Paul decided not to name her. Well, whoever she is, she's mentioned in Scripture, and if you wanted a bit part, here it is. So what do we know about her? Well, she's a mother. Many women then were mothers. And she's a mother of a young man, or a man called Rufus. And yet Paul says, his mother and mine. I don't think Paul is saying that this woman really is my actual biological mother. We know that Paul came from Tarsus, so this woman is living in Rome. More likely, this woman tended for him and cared for him. She was a mother figure, not only to those who are of her biology, but those who are in the faith. I think it's Deborah in her song who says how she arose. She arose a mother in Israel. Deborah is a tough character. And motherhood is not just about being soft and making meals. It's about disciplining children. It's about bringing them up rightly. It's about making a stand. And here we've got an example of Christian motherhood. And I'm not just referring to the way we bring up our children, but the fact that we can care for others in the church who need looking after, who need compassion, who need an older person, male or female, in this case female, to tend them and to care for them. Although he doesn't name her, the bond between them is quite clearly strong enough that he is able to refer to her as a mother. And the older we get, both physically but also in terms of our walk with the Lord, our spiritual state, the more mature we become, the more opportunities we ought to seek to nurture and care for and tend, not just Christian workers and leaders in the church, but other people in the church who perhaps their families have abandoned them because of their faith. They've lost mother, they've lost father, they've lost brother, but in the church they ought to find many, many more. So in one respect, the mother of Rufus provides us with a wonderful role model. Furthermore, we have the issue of the anonymity. Why does Paul not name her in a section in which he names a great many people? Well, if it is because she's currently preparing to stand trial for her faith and therefore for her life, I think the mother of Rufus persuades us that we ought to be brave. If for the sake of the family good, if for the sake of her husband's reputation, she did feel she had to deny the faith, albeit and then to keep it secretly, again, perhaps that offers us a challenge as well. Or was it that, as the wife of Simon of Cyrene, she wasn't named because everybody knew who she was? Evidently, the Rufus, who was the son of Simon of Cyrene, may well have been a member of the Church of Rome. But the mother of Rufus is not apparently seeking any praise or any recognition or any fame of her own. Perhaps in various times in your life you've been known as somebody's wife or somebody's husband or somebody's son or somebody's daughter or somebody's father, somebody's mother. In other words, they only know you through another. Perhaps they don't even know your name. The flesh, the world, the sinful nature wants recognition. It wants applause. It wants credit where credit's due. But the Lord Jesus said, don't let your right hand tell your left hand what it's doing. Let the hypocrites get all the praise and the recognition. Do good, but not for the praise of men. Not because you want to garner a reputation, but because you want to give God the glory. Who will reward you in the fullness of time? One word of commendation from him on that great day is worth more than 1,000 bouquets or gift cards or speeches or rounds of applause here in this world. The fact that he doesn't name her especially if it's in Simon's wife. In one respect, he's overlooking her own identity. She is forever known here as the mother of Rufus. Although he says, and my mother as well. There is a challenge here. This unnamed woman offers us a challenge and also an inspiration. What we do for the Lord, are we happy for others not to notice? Are we happy for others to offer no thanks when perhaps they ought to? If you're serving the Lord, then it doesn't matter what other people do or don't do in response to your service. You're doing it for him. So this anonymous woman is not even named, but the Lord knew her. Of course, Paul does know her. If she has been a mother figure to him, she does know. And yet also, perhaps he refers to her as mother. Somebody was telling me quite recently how he's come to the point whereby he can address his stepmother as mum. That can be hard, can't it? It might be that Paul doesn't refer to her by name, because he stopped using her name many years ago. If it was the lady, the aristocrat, or if it was Simon's wife, he simply addresses her as mother. And I wonder if that is the highest compliment, despite what I've just said before, this is the highest compliment Paul could actually pay her. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, because we have been adopted into the family of God. There is a sense in which God is the Father of all. He has created us all. When Paul preaches to the Athenians on Mars Hill, he talks about how, you know, God has created all men. He's not far from us. And yet when you become a Christian, you become part of the family. You become a son, a daughter of God. You become a co-heir with Christ. He's not just God in the sky. He's our Father, which art in heaven. Furthermore, we Christians are brethren. Brothers, sisters, all related, not by flesh and blood. Although if you go back to Adam, we're all cousins to some extent. But because we're all adopted into the same family and we have the same Heavenly Father, there is a family relationship going on here. And of course, there are sometimes problems in churches, just as there are problems in families as well. And yet he refers to her as mother. He's part of her family. In one respect, every member of that Roman church was part of the great family of God. And yet there is a special bond between this woman and Paul. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. He is owning her, as it were, as a son. He's claiming her. There is a special bond between Paul and this woman. I am like a son to her. She is like a mother to me. Greet her. Yes, he does not name her. And from a historical point of view, more is the pity. And yet we have something here far more beautiful. We have the Apostle Paul, who it is quite likely was disowned by his own mother and his own father. He set off to Jerusalem, a young man with such promise, taught by Gamaliel, employed by the high priest to stamp out that wicked heresy. And then he only goes and joins them. and it's likely he went home. And they probably rejected him. He doesn't refer to them. But in Rufus's mother, we have someone who informally adopted him as her own. You might say, as if the Apostle Paul needs a mother figure. And yet Elijah was a man just like us. Paul was a man just like us. And he could preach in the synagogue. He could preach at the temple. He could preach in the Areopagus. But he still needed a mother. And Rufus's mother was prepared to be such a one. So, I can't even be sure of the two individuals I began with, which one she is. I can't tell you any more about her, apart from the fact there's something very winsome about the lack of a name. It's not an insult, I think it's rather a compliment. And the fact that in the Church of God, Paul saw that woman and beheld there a spiritual mother. May we learn from this individual whom we cannot this evening name. Amen.